The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for over 30 years.
In the words of Paul Hogan, good evening, viewers, which was some of the greatest television of all time. Unfortunately, Strop is no longer with us, but the skit Paul Hogan did when he was George Fungus for 60 minutes was quite extraordinary. Ben Casnelia with you, Cat Attack podcast sort of style. I've started off with a bit of left field reminiscing about the great days of the Paul Hogan show. And do you remember when he was always, which you wouldn't get away with now, but he was lying on the... Before we say anything, can you promise me one thing?
What's that, Benny?
Can you say yes?
No, I can't say yes because I don't know where
you're living. No, just say yes.
Because this is something you want to keep in that you are worried that I'm going to...
No, I'm just what I want to do is just get a guarantee that nothing is cut out of this podcast.
Oh, I can't guarantee you that, Benny. You know I can't guarantee
no,
that.
No, what I was going to say was I actually did see... I don't know how it came up or...
See, I missed the Paul... I'm a little bit younger than you. I missed the Paul Hogan show.
Well, you need to watch some of it. So what he used to do...
I do know he had a good character called Leo Wanker.
He did. He used to jump out of the back of the... like he was like a sort of in the orange. He was like a sort of a dynamo, and he'd jump out of the back of the truck and stand on the rake, and it'd come up and hit him in the... some of it was very basic humor, but he used to get away with it. I don't know how, but it was actually very amusing.
Was it very similar to the D-Generation in the late show doing...
It was a very crude version of that.
Doing piss weak stunts?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. It was, yeah. But somehow he got it to work. I don't know how. John Cornell, who was Strop, was the brains behind it, a lot of it.
Yes.
So he was even though he played character Strop, was an absolute dunce. He was the brains, a lot of behind the Paul Hogan show. But he always used to be, when he was sitting on that, you probably see a young king, you remember the old
Banana Lounge?
Yeah. That had the plastic tubing.
Yes.
And it used to get us put out in the sun for like 3 or 4 minutes, and it was actually, you could cook a roast chicken on it, let alone lie on it. But it used to stick to your body. It was absolutely riffy. So he was always on one of those, and the end of it used to go up. The rest used to go up and back. So he was always have Delvine Delaney, who was married to Strop, I think.
Correct.
She was always releasing the headrest up and down, or the backrest up and down. And, of course, you can imagine what happened.
What happened?
Well, no. Well, Delvine, as Paul Hogan would go down, and Delvine would be lying over the top of you in a bikini.
Right.
You would not get away with it now, would you?
No.
But it just used to make you giggle when it happened.
Less politically correct times.
Yeah, no, were the great times, unfortunately.
Yes. North Melbourne and Geelong. North Melbourne drove Geelong insane last week. Rolled numbers behind the footy, and
Geelong did enough.
Geelong just did what they had to do.
Wasn't
pretty. If you looked at that game and got told that the team wearing the navy blue and white hoops were the premiership favourite, you'd go, "Oh, you sure?"
Yeah, I agree. Long season games, you just got to win. I think from memory, there was another game Geelong played that was similar down here early in the year. I'm trying to think who it was.
It was North Melbourne.
I was North. Okay. And there might have been another game there where Gold Coast did a similar thing. Mind you, Gold Coast should have got within a goal in that game.
Collingwood
was another one.
At the MCG.
But you never thought they were going to lose that game.
Geelong haven't got a real... They put away the good sides. They put away Richmond twice.
Because the good sides play a different brand, probably. Yep. They're not trying to protect the scoreboard as much. They're hoping that their system will be Geelong's, whereas the lesser sides are thinking, well, we don't want to get our pants pulled down.
Mm.
So let's play a style that reflects the fact when we're going to still be in the game on the scoreboard as such. You never thought Geelong were going to lose, though.
No.
Against North.
No, no, no.
You never thought they were going to lose against Collingwood.
They were always going to flick into a gear that ensured they were in front of the final siren.
And it's a long year. Find ways to win games that are not pretty. Geelong did exactly that. No injuries. Kingy, were there?
No.
Nothing?
Got through.
And no. So Cameron's not back this week?
No, Cameron's not back, but neither is Atkins, Henderson or O'Connor.
Are they just being cautious there? Or?
I think so. Yeah.
So if there's nothing, a final this week, would they play?
I would think so, yeah. I think they've just worked out they can get another week, potentially. You know, play a GWS team that are just going.
Yeah.
They're a good side, GWS, when they're really going, but they're not.
They're not a finals team.
They're just going. Well, that's the thing, though. They're still playing for...
They lost Hopper.
Yep.
He's out, isn't he?
Yeah, he will be out because of the concussion protocol.
Yeah, he's gone.
That was horrible.
It was. I watched that game at Port Adelaide GWS, and Port won. Port had a bit in hand. GWS were there at times, but it was a little bit like, albeit a little, it was more free-flowing. It was a little bit like Geelong playing North Melbourne. You never really thought Port Adelaide were going to lose.
Correct.
So, but I think it's probably good management, Kingy. Well, proof will be in the pudding, but if they've got players like that who are not 100%, and this is probably, you look at it at the end of a season, and a team has to absolutely bust its boiler to finish where it needs to finish on the ladder to have a crack at the finals. But they've spent all their petrol in terms of playing guys sore, you know, guys who potentially needed the week or two off, can't get the week or two off you because you can't afford to lose.
No.
And Geelong can't afford to lose, but they're in a good position where they've got the depth.
Correct.
You know, they're not replacing those three blokes who are not playing with three first gamers.
No.
They're replacing them with blokes who are experienced, who can come in and play a role.
Although they did replace Henderson with a first gamer last week.
They did, and that was against the bottom team.
Yep.
You probably need to be, you wouldn't want to be putting two or three first gamers in.
So I suspect that all those guys, so Kruger.
We'll play again.
Kruger, Zach Guthrie.
I thought he was good.
Yeah, he's a solid citizen.
He didn't get a hell of the ball, but he didn't stand out as being poor.
Zach Guthrie's best game for Geelong.
Yeah, he played well. And those two aren't there when the whip's cracking. But that's the thing. Geelong are putting in guys like Zach Guthrie, and as much as he's a bit of a much maligned player amongst Geelong fans, he's got, what, five years experience and nearly 30 games experience to call on. So he can come in against the lesser sides and play a role and play it well. I don't know that you wouldn't be expecting Zach Guthrie to be getting 28 possessions. How many possessions do you have, 28?
28.
You wouldn't be expecting him to get 28 against the Bulldogs.
No.
But he can come in against those lesser sides. Kruger can come in against the lesser sides, pressures off a little bit to a degree, and play a role. And that's how you end up winning the flag. Guys who need to rest can get the rest, and you've got the artillery on the sidelines to keep your boat afloat.
We're hoping that maybe post game tomorrow night we might speak with Zach Guthrie because nobody's actually ever heard from him.
So no. Does he talk?
He does. He actually is quite
articulate. Is he quite articulate? Is
yes.
He? Oh, is he? So what does he do outside of foosball?
He's doing exercise sports science at Deakin. He was studying. So GWS Geelong tomorrow night. Cats win.
I wouldn't get that confident.
No. So
they should.
No, sorry. I mean, if the Cats win, they will finish. That guarantees top four because they'll be too clear with two to play and percentage.
Yeah.
And then it's just about positioning in the four. And it's not going to really matter. Finish first, second, third.
It's going to be, just before you go on there, it's going to be a massive last round. Geelong, Melbourne, Bulldogs, Port.
Yeah, correct.
Is that the last round? Bulldogs, Port, or is that the second last round?
I think Bulldogs, Port is the last round it is.
So the top four teams are going to play each other.
Potentially. Depends on what Sydney do over the next couple of weeks and what Port do. So Port have got, Port will win this week. They've got Adelaide. And then they've got Carlton, Port.
Where?
In Adelaide.
Oh, they win them both then.
But if they were to lose to the Dogs and the Swans were to win their last three, which is very, very possible because they've got Gold Coast, North Melbourne and St Kilda, the Swans might be jagging fourth spot.
Jeez, that'd be the old bookmakers would be rubbing their hands.
So percentage is Port 121.8, Sydney 118, but Port with a game in hand.
Yeah, well, that's it's going to come down to the right down to the nostril hairs, isn't it?
Actually, no. The Cats are two games clear of Sydney. Win this week, they're still two clear, but a bit of a chunk of percentage.
Yeah, the Cats are going to finish top two, surely. Goodness me, you would have thought. It's just a matter of who they play, which is it's looking like it's probably going to be Melbourne, isn't it?
Well, they'll probably play
two, play three.
They'll probably play Melbourne in round 23.
Yeah.
And play them again. I
wonder
later.
Then if that's the case, if they looking at it thinking, well, we're going to play this mob again in next week. I wonder what happens in that final round if Geelong can't
move. If it's just
is it still a week off?
Yep.
Yeah, so that makes it, well, it doesn't make a difference.
You don't flirt with form, you just.
No, but do you
remember when Geelong,
do you not tag, do you just let it maybe make it a little bit more free-flowing?
Yep.
You probably don't show
bruise
your
free.
Head. Yeah. You probably don't show, I wouldn't have thought you play defensively exactly how you think you might in a fortnight's time after that, if that's the same opposition.
Play blitz halves at centre forward.
Well, I don't think you go out of your way to completely cock things up in terms of playing blokes all over the place. Mm. But I certainly don't think you send O'Connor to anyone if he's playing, if that's your thought, you know, to Oliver. Well, he's the one. I mean, I don't understand. People don't. I know he's probably difficult to tag, but Oliver and Petrarca.
Mm. They'll get Viney back for that game. I just want your thoughts on the Viney.
Yeah, that was pretty average.
It was.
That, very average.
That deserved more than two.
Yeah, 100%. Should have been four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was. Yeah, that was.
If a Geelong player did that, we would be howling that down here as well, going, that's not what you want from your players.
No.
But don't care what happened in the lead up. You are putting your. That's your airway.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when you're having that had pressure put on, that's not good.
No, Stephen Segal. No, I agree with you, King, 100%. That was a very, very average look. And I think, you know, even Jack Viney, he had nowhere to go other than to say it was an average look when he saw it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought he was very lucky to get two.
Two, yeah.
Yeah. I also thought, you know, and I'm not a great, you know, let's suspend every bloke that doesn't play for Geelong for the most minor of incidents. Some fans get up, you know, it's because he's not playing for Geelong or whoever it is team you barrack for. It doesn't matter if it's Collingwood or the other team. You know, I've got to spend him for that. I don't get into all that. The best players, you want the best players playing. Right. I was very surprised Franklin didn't get 1 week, though.
But the problem was that the AFL had created a rod for their own back earlier in the year with a couple of similar incidents.
Yeah.
Sydney referred to that, and the tribunal had no other way to go other than to say, yeah, you're clear.
He's thrown an elbow back and hit the bloke in the head.
Yeah, but others had done it and got away with it.
So, yeah, and that's what I find that's a deliberate act.
Correct.
Whereas a bump, the Dangerfield bump, and I'm not saying he should have got off it, but there's a huge element of he can't control that. So, I thought that was very, very ordinary that he was getting off. And, someone put on Twitter that his defence, Jack Devine's defence was that he wasn't Lance Franklin.
Oh.
And that's why he was going. Yeah, I thought it should have been 3 weeks. For old Vinester.
So the Cats play the Giants, St Kilda, and then Melbourne. Last three rounds, all at home.
Yeah, it's going to be just pop your helmet on.
Now, Benny, would you like some questions?
I love getting questions. I get questions, questioned quite a bit.
Foxdog 50, don't want you guys to be Tom Brown breaking news. Just wondering, have you heard any whispers around the traps of any free agents or out-of-contract players we might be interested in? I think it's going to be quiet for the Cats in that regard.
Who sent that through?
Foxdog 50.
Yeah, well, Foxdog, I think generally what has been the modus operandi of Geelong is that you've heard something by now about a player, and then they usually get the deal done, whereas we haven't heard anything. I
tell you who I'd like him to go and get, not only because I'd love to see him play for Geelong, but it won't. They don't need him. Is if you Jack Gunston's potentially available in the year.
Yeah, how old's he?
No, probably 30, yeah, 20 or 30. They don't need him, but I just like watching Jack Gunston play.
Someone like Melbourne would do well to get him.
Yeah. See, I like a Gunston, that Gunston darling type of player. That sort of.
Well, we got Cameron.
Yeah, I know, but I'd like those.
I reckon Melbourne would do well to get him.
Yep.
He'd fit there.
Because Melbourne are going to be thereabouts as long as Petrarca's in that side.
Oh, Oliver. They've got a good defence. They just need a forward line. It's probably where they're kicking a score.
Yep.
Although Brown's been good in the last few weeks.
Yep.
But I reckon that would be a good fit for the D's for Kunza. But no, I haven't. Foxdog, we haven't heard anything, which makes you think that it will be a very quiet period for the Cats. First time since Chris Scott's reign, I would have thought that it's been quiet.
Really active, lack of activity.
Well, I mean, the other thing too, King, is you might know, is are the Cats... I've asked Pete Ryan this a few times on Current Footy, but are the Cats got any room in their salary cap, or are they absolutely bursting?
No, I don't think they're absolutely bursting, but they don't have a great... Well, the clubs are still waiting to find out what CBA looks like too, in terms of what they can do. So, but they'd be pretty...
I see that they've got to take three players in the draft.
Yeah, which they'll be able to do. Yeah, which they'll be able to do, because there'll be a couple of guys that will comfortably be let off the list.
Off the chain?
Yeah.
You ever been let off the chain?
No.
Never?
Tight rein.
Have you, like, just sort of double?
Well, I saw you get let off the chain numerous years ago, and that didn't end up well for you. So
where was that at?
When you had that big day up at St. Joseph's.
Oh, that was the day that I blamed it on the boogie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that wasn't ideal, Kingy, but...
Didn't you get accompanied with the windows of a police car of some description?
They just escorted me home, but then they obviously got lost and ended up at the station. And then I got out of the car, and I'd been sort of refreshing for most of the day.
Right.
And I was still sort of slightly over-refreshed at the station when I was being checked in. And old Senior Sergeant O'Reilly he said to me, and this is probably, you don't want to be a smart ass right when you're at the station, so I worked this out afterwards, but but he said to me, he goes, do you have anything to say? And I'd been at the St. Joey's Disco that night up at Drew Reserve there, and I just looked at him and I said, in a sort of a stupid voice, I just said, look, I'm just blaming this whole thing on the boogie. And he didn't see the funny side of blaming it on the boogie. And then they wanted to take my belt and everything. I thought, gee, I said, I've had a bad day, but I'm not going that bad. Anyway, I got out of there and ironically, Kingy, do you know what was worse, Kingy? He goes to the guy at 5:30 in the morning, he goes, oh, your mum's here to pick you up.
Oh, no.
I thought, Jesus, what's happened here? Can't imagine Rails getting out of her little fart like well into her 70s to come down and pick up her son who's well into his 30s. Anyway, it wasn't. It was the lovely that I was seeing at the time had come to get me.
Right.
Yeah. So we had a little chat and she said, look, you know, this is the last, you know, this is the last time I'm doing this. You gotta pull your socks up. You got a London Fog and lift. And I said, yep, all good, yep. And then, the worst part was I was in the Addy.
Yeah, you made the paper.
K-Rock jock to face court.
Mm.
I'd never spun a disc in my life. Like, and I turned into a jock. Anyway, that was a bit embarrassing, Kingy. So I haven't been... Oh, that was the last time that happened.
13 years ago.
What, is it?
Mm.
How do you know that? No, it was longer than that.
It was 08.
Was it?
Yep.
How do you know it was 08?
I just do.
No, I thought it was 15 years ago. Okay, anyway. It wasn't good, but at least I was safe and sound for the night and I had a little sleep and there was no one else in the...
Drunk tank?
No, and it was a bit rock solid though, the farter.
Was it?
Can't recommend it. It wasn't sort of therapeutic at all.
wasn't your sleeping duck?
No, it wasn't sort of like the steamroller over the mattress type of thing. It was just like rock. It was rock hard. So anyway, but and that's why we call it the Belmont Watch House End on K-Rock Footy.
Mm.
That's down at the Belmont Station.
Yep. Cats do it better. What do you think O'Connor's role might be in the finals? We saw him play a couple of really good shutdown roles earlier this season with other midfielders out, but we haven't seen him play the same hard tagging role for a while. Does he need to show he can do that again before you can trust it in a final, or is it a trick that Scott can show in the finals?
Yeah, that's a good question.
That's very thoughtful from Cats do it better.
Yeah, that is a very good question. I think there's probably something to that. He came in, tagged, did it quite well, and then hasn't really been right since. Mm-hmm. He's been in and out of the team. That's probably the problem.
Injury issues.
Yeah, I agree that you'd probably like him just to reprise. Do you like that word, Kiki? To reprise the role.
Mm.
Yeah, but in saying that, as we spoke about before, do you want him doing that if they're playing Melbourne in the last round? Well, they are playing Melbourne last round, and then they've got to play him again in the first week of the finals. Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced you want to sort of show your hand like that. So it becomes a really tricky one. Maybe, is he back next week?
We'd think, yeah. It's,
well, maybe you'd give him a crack against somebody like a, I don't know.
Like St Kilda, so.
Steele.
Yeah.
Send him to Steele, who's going to win St Kilda's best and fairest. And then, yeah, well, that's the only chance they've got. I would do it there. I wouldn't do it against Melbourne. But I think it's a really good point that you'd love to see him get in that mindset. Come off a really good successful tagging role to be able to do it in the finals. If you, like he says, if you haven't done it for the best part, when was the last time he tagged anyone?
Bolton? Yeah, Richmond.
He spent some time with him. Did he?
Yep.
Well, did he? Was that a sort of a date? I spent some time with him. Goodness me.
You are a dead set imbecile.
Oh, is this like a sort of a Tinder sort of arrangement, was it? Anyway, no, look, I that's a really, really good question. Bolt, remember how long ago was that?
3 weeks ago.
I remember him tagging Bolton.
Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, I remember the game, but I don't remember him tagging Bolton. Mm. You sure?
2 weeks ago. Yeah, he didn't all day, but he spent some time with him from what I can remember.
Yeah, anyway. Steele against St Kilda.
Yep.
And then... Don't tag in the final round if the cards are likely to fall.
And then you go to whom?
Yeah, that's a good one. I think...
Oliver?
I'd go to Oliver.
Yep.
Try to influence... He's difficult to tag because he's so inside, but he's getting more of the ball outside now and his kicking has improved. His confidence is absolutely sky high and he's using the ball much better. Previously, so let's go back 3 years, he was getting the ball a lot, but he was butchering it. Mm. So teams would be happy to, for him to have the ball because there was half a chance he was going to kick it back to you. But now he's actually not. So he's getting all that inside ball, which would be very difficult to stop, but he's actually getting it on the outside. So you, if you can, I reckon Oliver's the one to go to. And, you, of course, you have Petrarca. You don't just let him do whatever he likes either. Mm. So, but he spends more time forward. Geelong have got matchups for him forward, like Henry, Colajasny.
Stewart, potentially.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I'd want him because I want him to be more attacking. Yep. But Henry and Colajasny at least are probably capable, well, having a crack at Petrarca.
Yep.
Midfield, yeah, you can't tag both, but I'd go to Oliver.
Is Bew strong enough to go to Petrarca?
No. Oh, yep, strong enough, yes. Big enough? Probably not.
So Bew's is 188.
Petrarca's probably only 190, is he? 191.
Truck is 186.
He's taller. Well, there you go. You can. We've got three options then. So he beat him for height, Bewes.
Yep. And Bewsey's not small in the
No,
old.
He's very strong.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, well, there you go. Petrarca's not as tall as I thought. So, yeah, well, there are three options for him when he's forward. You just want to make sure that when he's in the midfield, he's not playing on somebody like a Dangerfield or a Duncan who don't have that defensive mindset because he'll tear you apart. You want him on the midfielder like a Cam Guthrie who can try and nullify him around the ball.
Oh, can I give you a Cam Guthrie update? He faced the media because he's playing his 200th.
Yeah.
He is super committed to Geelong. And they're
super committed.
And they're waiting, just working through the finer points of a contract.
Can you explain to me what the difference between being committed and super committed is?
Well, they just...
Because Gary Ablett used to say he was super excited.
Really?
I'm super excited.
Yeah. It's a next level.
Is it sort of a hype state of
yes.
of commitment,
yes.
is it?
Highly aroused, Benny.
Ooh, we like to be that.
Yep.
Haven't been that for a bit.
Howler 41. Enjoyed the call as I was driving all day Saturday, especially Kingy's impersonation of 70s Watergate Hotel character, Deep Throat. which, of course, to do with... the scandal.
Gus Mercurio.
Yeah. After his performance Saturday, could the offers come in for Jason... Oh, sorry. I was going to say Jason Doherty. No. Could the offers come in for Zach Guthrie, Henderson and Tui, the likely two to retire in the next couple of seasons? Kruger and Nick Stevens could replace these. Or De Conning. Would we get a late 20s pick for Zach? Ooh, no. No. Third rounder for Zach, I would have thought. Benny?
Third rounder?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a second round for Zach Guthrie.
No way.
No. He was really good. Is he potentially better than the status quo, or could he be like Cam, a late bloomer? But that's potential too. Like, yeah, sometimes you've just got it. You know, it's a lengthy apprenticeship. You got drafted in 2017, but sometimes you've just got to bide your time. Bewsey, it'd be interesting to do a comparison and see how many games Zach Guthrie's played to this point compared to what Jed Bewes has played to. A
how
similar,
old's Jed?
Oh, Jed's 28 now. But
many games he played? 100 and
he's played 100, about 120.
Yeah.
How many
well,
would
he be? I remember Geelong fans saying he wasn't good enough for a long period of time.
So doing a comparison, so similar age, you know, 5 years on the list, Bewsey after 5 years on the list had played. Please hold caller. Just as I go to the rabbit hole that is AFL tables. I'll start at Jed Bewes and I'll finish at Craig Dowsett or somebody like that.
Yeah, old Craigie boy.
So... Bewes didn't play a game in his first two seasons.
Yep.
And he had played by the end of 2016, so after 5 years on the list, had played 31 games.
So about the same as Zach.
So very similar to Zach Guthrie. So if I go and have a look at Zach Guthrie...
He's played 20... Wasn't it 28 or 29 games on his on the weekend?
I can tell you in a second. And Zach Guthrie had played... Guthrie... that was his 29th.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're at a very they're going to be on a very similar number after 5 years on the list.
Yep. Yeah, and
Zach Guthrie too has actually started to put on some size. He actually doesn't look like
doesn't look tiny anymore.
No. So maybe we're going to see out of Zach Guthrie a bit of a Jed Bewes
potentially.
You know, development took some time. You know, they're patient because they obviously see something.
Yeah.
You don't spend 5 years on the list and only play 30 games.
No, I agree. I just I don't know that you want to get too wrapped up in a game like last week where he had 28 times. I know it was good.
But people are talking about trading him. Well, I don't think that's on Geelong's agenda.
No, I don't think. And I think...
Unless he says to him, look, I want some opportunity and I'm going.
Yeah.
But he might be just...
Happy to stay.
Yeah.
Because Geelong's defence is... It's not old, but it's not...
See, Tom Stewart's older than you think.
He's 28.
Yeah.
Yeah. Blitz halves in his 30s.
Yep.
And not that Zach Guthrie is going to play Blitz halves role, but Henderson's
in his 30s.
If they won the flag, or if they didn't win the flag,
so he's 32 in December.
He's one serious injury away from being gone.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's potentially some opportunity for him there, and he might, with his brother there, he might think, well, I'll just bite the bullet, hang around as long as he's getting compensated to a level that he thinks is okay. If somebody came in and offered him significant more, not, you're not going to throw huge dollars at him, but they might offer him, another club might offer him a 3 or 4 year deal at his age, with his, now that he's got someone like a North Melbourne who are building.
Yep.
He's young, can build with the team. He's not going to be a star, but he's a role player.
Yep.
They might offer him a 4 year deal, significantly more than Geelong are going to offer him. And it's something, well, he thinks, well, I can't knock that back.
No.
So if I was a club like North Melbourne, that's sort of they want to get a few stars. I get that, but you can't just get stars every year. You want to
get Kettler after Kettler into Kelly.
Yeah, they are, and I'd be getting somebody like a Zach Guthrie.
Yep.
The AFL's probably littered with them. The guys who have done that 4 year apprenticeship, 4 or 5 years, have got between 30 and 50 games under their belt. They're not household names, but they're Jed Buse types, and you can build with them.
Yep.
And someone like a Guthrie is on the radar of those teams that are building. Not you wouldn't think he'd be going to a strong team.
No, it's not like the Dogs or Melbourne are after a Zach Guthrie.
But you wouldn't have to offer Zach Guthrie too much to get him out of Geelong, I wouldn't have thought.
No.
In terms of Geelong and offering him a fortune.
No.
Not that you would anyway, but I think you're right. I think Buse used to get maligned all the time. All the time.
Now he's probably one of the first magnets.
I don't hear
on the
anybody say, he kicks it out in the full. Yeah, well, so what? But nobody's, I remember a good friend of mine who's a sane supporter. He's not, he's not a one-eyed. He's one-eyed, but he's not one-eyed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
He couldn't have Jed Buse. I said, geez, I'll tell you, just give him a bit of time. He makes mistakes, but he's give him some time. And now he's fully on board. Jake Colajasny's the same. I get fewer out. People say, oh, he's no good. But I'm thinking, well, I don't understand what you're basing that on. His man doesn't get a kick every week.
Yeah. It's interesting. Buse and Colajasny have both played a similar amount of games.
Yeah, and they're good mates.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. Those guys are role players. They're never going to get the accolades of the stars. And yeah, every now and then they're going to make a mistake. But so does Jeremy Cameron.
Yep.
So does Tom Hawkins. But they don't have the profile, so they're easier to pick. Or they're easier targets to pick on.
Funny old game, but we seemed in control for the majority. Interesting, we missed the easy ones, but kicked the tough ones. Blitz, Rowan, Guthrie, and hair model Tom Hawkins all kicking. Hair model Tom Hawkins. That is a luscious, luscious. It must be a Hawkins thing.
What do you think he runs through it?
Oh, a bit of Weller balsam.
Yeah, it'd be a no more tears formula, wouldn't it? What? There'd be no sort of, what's that dangerous stuff?
Head and shoulders.
Yeah, there'd be none of that running through that. I love the way a lot of players do their hair now when they see themselves after they've kicked a goal, they're going back to the centre and they see themselves on the big screen, they start doing the old Yogi Bear. It's really taken off, the old. Do you do yours, Kingy?
Well, lack of.
Do you do any manscaping?
Oh, Ben.
What? It's a legitimate question.
No.
No scaping at all.
Well, on the beard, yep.
Oh, yeah, the beard, yeah.
Yeah, I try to keep the beard tidy.
Yeah.
That's about it.
You don't do anything, yeah.
We're moving on.
The razor never gets below.
No, we're moving on.
Really?
No.
I'd like to know a few Cut Attack podcasts.
No.
What?
We're not going there, Benny. Everything above the navel, thanks.
This is legitimate. It's the 2021.
Yeah, the 2021.
Well, that's
as opposed to the 2020.
That's what the implements call it, I think.
Right, Daz Broncos. Complaints first. And for those who listen to the podcast and stream our games, we had no control over the live streaming last week. Unfortunately, it was at the AFL's end that our station wasn't an option on the match centre for you to be able to listen to. We apologise for that, and we have contacted the AFL and very much made it known that we were disappointed. We do have listeners all over the world. It's not just people in Geelong and people like Daz Broncos. I think it's... It might be Justin Ho, listens in Singapore, people like that, Jen Monaster over in Winnipeg. So sorry, guys. We apologise, but there's nothing we could do about it, unfortunately. Then Daz ranted, and he said, now that's over. Kruger, great to see him get a crack in a dogged game, did some nice things, and while he didn't drain the biro, showed enough flashes at the highest level to suggest he fits in and can make it stick. I know he said contract stuff will come at the end of the year, but it's pretty clear he needs to be offered a two-year continuance at the club. There will be places for him in 2022 and beyond. We lack that key. He's got KFD that carries his skill set. Key forward? I don't know. Can't have him go all the way of Hamling and Gardner, which obviously the Cats lost Hamling and Gardner to other. We'll let them go to other clubs. You'd be working overtime to keep Kruger.
Well, I would have thought so. With Henderson on the last sort of legs of his career, and Blitzarves is not on the last legs, but he's certainly not on his first legs. He's over 30. So, yeah, I definitely... You put so much time into these big blokes, you'd really be reticent for him to go somewhere else and show something. And I think he's the sort of player that can. So they've put the hard yards in. Now they've just got to find ways to get him in the team. But even that's difficult because... he plays this week and then probably the week after he's out again.
Yep. With Myers being out potentially for 4 to 6 weeks, does Frank the Tank Evans now become the running small? Not sure he can replace Myers' endurance running up and down the ground, which I feel we missed versus the North. Myers is closer than you think. They've actually had some good encouraging signs with him, so he may actually be back for the St Kilda game next week potentially.
Really?
Yep.
Thought it was last time he missed about 5 weeks.
Yeah, it's not a break, I don't think, this time. It's more of the knock. It's just... I don't think it actually... Did it refracture?
No, it's fractured.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were saying...
You know more than me.
No, well, they were saying that it was his season basically, home and away season was over. Right. So we'd have to bring him back in the finals, unless there's been... Do you reckon they've drizzled some Lewards water on it?
Potentially.
What else could they drizzle on it?
A bit of olive oil.
Does that help, does it?
I don't know.
Bit of sunflower.
Great to see Kingy made it back after the dreaded spasmal laryngeal syndesmosis attack of last Saturday. The upside is Francis Ford Coppola has reached out and wants you to voice the animated reboot of The Godfather as the Don.
The old Don.
The Don. Thank you for that, Daz. Yes, I'm okay. Hi, guys. This is LP17. Welcome, LP. With it looking extremely unlikely that 100% crowd capacity will be allowed for the next few weeks and into early weeks of the finals, have you heard any whispers from the club or league on our ability to host finals at GMHBA? Surely this is a rare year where our MCG home finals can be reconsidered by the AFL. Well, as we speak on Thursday afternoon at quarter past two, the speculation is Victoria is going into a snap lockdown. After this mini outbreak at a school in the western suburbs of Melbourne, the AFL is probably, and the understanding is the AFL has booked hotels for the month of September in Perth. I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing a lot of the finals played over there, to be honest.
Jeez, Kingy. The world's turned on its head, hasn't it?
You ready to go to Perth for a month, Benny?
No, because I can't. Because, why?
Why?
Because there's an enormous animal, 562 kilos of Tavistock mare that I'll be hanging around to see in Victoria.
Oh, Charlie Rose.
Correct.
How's it going?
She's going very well.
So we are not counting days, but only 89 days away from the Melbourne Cup.
Yes.
You know that, don't you?
I do.
Yep.
The noms were out on Tuesday for the Cup, 170-something of them.
All right. So you just need another 146 to fall over.
Yeah. No, it's very exciting. Kingy, she worked on Monday at... Tuesday, sorry.
Is she guaranteed a start?
No.
What does she need to do?
No, she needs to win. She needs to win win something. She needs to win. We're setting it for the Bart Cummings, which is an automatic qualifier. So she wins that, she's automatically in. Right. But she needs to get her rating up.
Right.
So her rating's not at the level of Melbourne Cup yet. This year's going to be a very different year, though.
With no internationals?
No. Well, there'll be some, but very few. Instead of being a 75% international field and 25% local, that'll be flipped on its head.
Yep.
And this is the year you want to be in it. Huh. This is the year to have a local stayer who can stay like religion.
Can you guarantee me, Benny, that if your horse was to win the Melbourne Cup...
I would not be seen for...
I was going to say, can you be right for round one next year?
I'd be only just coming off that, Kingy, if that was the case.
You would have 4.5 months.
If she gets into the Cup, right,
yep.
The Bar Cummings on the 2nd of October.
Yep.
So it's a month before the Cup. If she was to win that...
Big day, 2nd of October.
Why is that?
That's Neildy's 50th
birthday.
Yeah,
it'll be 100-1 if I'll be in Melbourne for that. But she... If she won that and I had a month to mull over her in the Cup,
Wow.
I don't know. The sheet changing would be extraordinary during the weeks in the lead up, Gingy. I tell you, it would be unbelievable. 8 million. It's 8.5 million, I think, is the prize pool. Not that I'm concerning myself with the coin, but it'd be very nice. Anyway, she's look.
What will you do? What would have you thought?
I don't know what I'd do. I wouldn't be able to speak.
So what percentage anything. Do you have?
Me, I brought 30% of her.
Right.
And stupidly farmed it out to some mates. So we've had great fun. So what percentage we've only got three. 10 of us have got 3% each. So, which is not much.
You're not a very smart man, are you?
No, well, in saying that...
You didn't know that at the time either, that
no,
you were buying
I've
something.
I've been into a lot of nags and I don't have, you know, I have a smaller percentage of quite a few, but no, I didn't know that. Originally, the plan was to have six of us have 5%
yep.
each, which is, you know, that's a 5% is fine. And it ended up being, oh, this guy wants to get in. So they ended up being 10 of us. So we thought the 3%, I thought, well, we'll have a bit of fun. And it's actually turned out to be really good because it's been fun. It has been really good fun. And that's part of getting into a horse is actually having some fun with some mates. And we have had, I mean, I've waited 30 years in horse racing, I've had horses. I get a horse that wins over the spring carnival, and we're not allowed to go. It was one of the more devastating. She won on Oaks Day. It was one of the more devastating days of my life to not be there, even though I was happy she won. So racing.com are doing a documentary on her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a 40-minute documentary.
Are you featuring?
I don't know. I'm featuring. I'm sure that I'll be in it at some point, but not front and square. So they came down to Penshurst on the weekend.
Right.
And did some filming, which was good. And it's going to air in the lead up to the Bart coming. So it's going to air the week after the grand final.
Oh, wow.
And then that leads into the following Saturday is... So the grand final must be the 25th. 5th, yeah. So that week into the Bart Cummings, which is on the 2nd.
Doesn't win that, what's your options?
Well, the option would be then probably, depending upon what happens in her two lead-up runs, if her rating's still where it is, probably look at something like the Geelong Cup.
I was going to say Geelong Cup.
Yeah. And you'd need to... What we do is you'd contact the Greg Carpenter
yep.
to find out what would get her in.
In, yep.
Yeah. So, but this year's different because of the no internationals, so maybe that rating doesn't need to be quite as high as it's been in previous years. But anyway, look, it's very exciting. She's been in work 8 weeks, and touch wood, Kingy, she is flying. Absolutely flying.
Benny, this has been a long one. We might better get out of here. Cause,
what time is it?
Well, it's the only time to actually start K-Rock footy on Friday night.
Is it? Perfect. Yeah. Go the Cats. Looking forward to cementing second on the table, Kingy. Kerr's Hire, Geelong's official Wacker Neuson dealer. North Geelong, Grovedale and Ocean Grove. Kerr'sHire.com.au.